Are we still finishing Kof, or did we finish Kof? Finished Kof? All right, so now we are in Resh. And of course, that is the Hebrew equivalent to our R. Pretty straightforward. And so that'll be verse 153. Psalm 119, verse 153. He says in that verse, "Consider or look on my affliction. God, take notice of my situation." He doesn't seem to, the psalmist almost seems to be in a panic, as we sometimes are when trials, difficulties, hardship come along. He says, "Look on my affliction. Be merciful, be piteous, take note and care. Lord, exhibit your justice in dealing with those that would be opposing me." He says, "For I do not forget thy law. Lord, I am striving to honor you. I'm striving to obey you. And yet I'm dealing with hardship and difficulty." And the affliction idea here is probably dealing with outsiders rather than something within himself. So Father, intervene on my behalf. And then tied with that is the next verse, "Plead my cause." The idea there is redemption. "Plead my cause, deliver me, quicken me according to thy word." I was talking to somebody this past week about the holes that we find ourselves in. And sometimes they're things that just happen to us. But a lot of the time, the holes we find ourselves in, we dug. And sometimes once we're in the hole, in trying to find a way out, we just keep digging it deeper and deeper. We sometimes do things in the short run that are going to eliminate our some of the possibilities as far as being able to extricate ourselves. And as far as salvation and so on is concerned, matter of fact, a lot of life, not just eternal life, but temporal things, that we are in situations we are utterly dependent on God to get us out of. Salvation is utterly and completely of God. There is nothing that any human being can do to redeem themselves. We are dependent on God for redemption as far as everlasting life is concerned. And generally speaking, for a lot of the trials and difficulties that we find ourselves in on a temporal basis, we are dependent on God as well. And so the psalmist is saying, deliver me from the hole that I'm in, from the difficulty that I'm experiencing. And he's depending on God to bring this about. He says, quicken me according to thy word. The word quicken, of course, is to make alive. And when we see this in the Psalms, very often the psalmist is dealing with temporal situations. He's in a life-threatening situation or something he perceives to be a life-threatening situation. And so he's asking for God to preserve his life. But when we talk about this, we can also use, and some of the newer translations will have this, put the word revive in there. And sometimes we need or are greatly helped by a spiritual shot in the arm. And I don't mean just a pick-me-up. Sometimes I'll be, I hope you experience the same thing. Sometimes I'm in my private Bible reading. I'll be reading along and then I'll see something. And it's something that I knew was there. I'd read it before, I don't know how many times. I've seen it there. And it isn't that it's new. I knew it was there. But I hadn't been thinking about it. But that one little phrase, that one verse, that one little thing that's going on with the character that I'm reading about or whatever it may be, is exactly what I need at that moment. I mean, exactly. It gives me some direction. It gives me encouragement. It gives me, even though I'm familiar with what this thing says, I had never made the application of that passage to my present dilemma. And so time and again, God does that kind of thing. We need this, by the way, this is one of the reasons why we need to be immersed in the Word of God. Because God rebukes us through His Word. God convicts us, but God also gives us great encouragement. When I get up here and I teach and I preach, I honestly, have nobody in mind, and the vast majority of the time, as I'm preaching this, I won't say never, but it's pretty close to never. I don't have anybody's I don't think, oh, this will be a help to so-and-so. I'm trying to analyze the text and make applications based on what the text has to say. And yet, people will occasionally come up to me afterwards and say, thank you, that's exactly what I needed. And most of the time, it's not the person I expected to tell me that. The thing that they derived from the message that was a help to them was something that I had never thought of that. I'm glad that was a help to you. I'm glad that God spoke to you through His Word. And so God revives our hearts, our spirits, and encourages us. He not only delivers us physically, but spiritually as well. And then look at the end of verse, he says, quicken me according to thy word. According to thy word. God makes promises. God makes promises. I've cited the verse a couple of times in the last month or so. I read it in my own Bible reading this morning. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Regardless of how isolated I may feel, how alone I may feel, how helpless I may feel, that I'm floundering. It's like somebody dropped me I fell out of an airplane and no one noticed while it was crossing the ocean. And I'm not within, yes, it happens all the time. And so I'm out there, I'm not within sight of land. I'm treading water. Sometimes we feel like that in life. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm never alone. I'm never alone. And we have God's promise to that. Quicken me according to thy word. Verse 153, this ties into something we saw in the previous letter as well. He says, salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. All right. Keep your finger here. Let's go to the book of Jonah. Jonah. Take you 5 minutes to find it. It's only four chapters rather, and it's buried in the minor prophets. Jonah. And then look at chapter 2. This is Jonah's prayer in the belly of the fish. And he says in verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Jonah 2:8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Now this is going to be tied in actually into what we're going to be preaching on the next hour. I need spiritual help. I need salvation. I need to be born again. I need to be put in a right relationship with my Creator. How am I going to go about doing that? Well, you look at the billions of people around the globe, and the vast majority of them, in some way, shape, or form, are pursuing that. And yet, the vast majority of them are on the wrong track. All right? They're on the wrong road, going the wrong way, taking with a totally different way of getting there. I'm gonna earn this. I'm gonna pursue this. I'm gonna do this. I'm. Instead of turning to God and pleading for His mercy and His grace. They that pursue or observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. If I want salvation, I don't think I've ever come across somebody that is eager to go to hell that has any inkling of what it's about. I've had some people joke about it. But I've never had anybody that seriously thought about hell being a reality and we're eager to experience that. Salvation, going back to our verse 155, salvation is far from the wicked. Why? Because they don't observe God's statutes. I'm going to look for salvation any place other than the Word of God. I've heard people talk, I was driving and it was such a beautiful day and I was noticing the sunset and I pulled the car over on the shoulder of the road and I was watching the sunset and it just touched my heart and I was born again. I've heard that more than once. I will let you know that what they understand the concept of being born again is not what they experienced. They may have experienced some warm fuzzies. They may have just been overwhelmed by a sense of the beauty of nature. They may have even experienced some measure of thankfulness to God for what He has created and what they were able to see. But that is not salvation. People pursue lying vanities. Salvation is far from the wicked because they're not looking in the right place. People look in nature. People look within themselves. This is the big thing right now. Everything is about me. And so people are looking for answers out there in creation or within. What is and this is becoming a bigger thing. People are becoming more and more attuned to spirituality, whatever that may be. Where are you going to find the answers as far as salvation is concerned? Where are you going to find the answers as far as eternal life is concerned? Where are you going to find the answers about being reconciled to our Creator? Here. And you can find out there's a Creator by looking without and within. But you're not going to find salvation. Instead, you will find guilt. You will find destruction. You will find tragedy. You will find all kinds of negatives. Yes, there's beauty in creation. We look at the mountain out there and we say, that's just gorgeous. That's just gorgeous. What is that mountain? It is a volcano. It is a volcano. When I worked for the print company, we printed the tsunami posters for the state of Washington. And they knew they were going to be popular, so they did a bunch of overs, and I actually have one framed in my bathroom. We have the Lahar sirens that go off on the first Monday of the month at noon. It's beautiful. Someday, it's going to get mad. Okay? Someday that is going to cause more trouble than all the beauty has been worth. And we may rejoice in the beauty we see around us. It is the result, so much of it, of ultimately of disaster. It's kind of interesting. There were no volcanoes prior to the fall. Think about that. All that we have that we see around us is a corrupted creation, as beautiful as it is. It is a corrupted, fallen creation. We're not going to find salvation out there. We see destruction. We see the results of sin. We look within and we see our own corruption. We see depravity. We deal with guilt. People try to get around that by making excuses for our behavior that it's not my fault or that it isn't really wrong. But why do people wrestle with sin? Why is it that, for example, here's where I'm going to get myself in trouble with, if for those who listen online, perhaps. Why is it that the suicide rate is like 18 times greater for homosexuals than it is for heterosexuals? God made me this way. This is just the way I am. This is a perfectly acceptable lifestyle. Then why do most people who do that in their heart of hearts, if they're willing to admit it, and in counseling some of them do, that they wish to be extricated from that, number one. And number two, why is it the suicide rate is so high? Guilt. They know it's wrong. They know it's wrong. And people wrestle with all kinds of things. They want to justify their behavior. They want to justify their thinking. They want to justify all kinds of things. And yet in their hearts of hearts, they know that it's wrong and they wrestle with guilt. And so I look within, I look without, and I'm not finding answers. Salvation is far from the wicked. Why? Because they seek not thy statutes. I will look anywhere other than the Word of God. It's kind of interesting. The Bible becomes a very, very, very last resort. And most people would prefer to die before they go there. The Bible is the last resort. Because I have been making fun of this all my life. I have argued against this all my life. And finally, at the end of myself, in desperation, I turn to this and I find the answers. How much easier would it be if we'd just gone here in the first place? But our perverse nature prevents that from happening. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they seek not thy statutes. And that's where we all started. Verse 157. He says, many are my persecutors and my enemies. Now, of course, we're dealing with King David. He's dealing with political adversaries. He's dealing with hardship, difficulty, and so on that level. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries. And yet he says, I do not decline from thy testimonies. How much easier would it be to cheat? How much easier would it be to lie? How much easier would it be David's a king, to do something that is wrong, to take out somebody who's troubling me, to create a campaign of slander and lie against this person so that they are discredited and I look good? Now, somebody who is fearing the Lord isn't going to go that way. I have to do what's right because it's the right thing to do, because it honors God. To do wrong dishonors God. To do wrong is sin. It is sin. And so in spite of those who oppose me, in spite of those that persecute me, in spite of the opposition, I am going to heed to your testimonies. I'm not going to decline from this. I'm not going to deviate. I'm not going to waver. I'm going to do what's right regardless. And for someone in a position of leadership, that becomes an extra challenge. Pray for our leaders. There are some a few people in leadership who are Christians. Pray for Vice President Pence. He is a born-again Christian from everything I've read. I find it very interesting. The media doesn't bother him too much, other than to make fun of him. And the reason is they keep your finger here. Let's go to the book of Daniel. And then we'll close with this. Daniel chapter 6. Look in verse 4. Daniel chapter 6, beginning of verse 4. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And it's interesting, you see that in the media going after the vice president. They attack his conviction, his biblical convictions. And that's the only thing they've been able to do anything, which is one of the reasons also they don't do a whole lot dealing with him. Because they got to be careful they don't make themselves look bad, and yet they still have to go on the attack. And so pray for him that he would continue to be above reproach, that his family would be above reproach, that they would not have anything that they can attack him on other than his devotion and fidelity to the Word of God. All right, let's save your notes, and we'll pick this up again next time. Father, thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you for salvation. May we heed and cleave to your Word regardless of the opposition. Father, this is where we find salvation. This is where we find our information in detail regarding yourself. This is where we find comfort. This is where we find direction and encouragement. Father, thank you that our vice president, from what we've been able to determine, is a man who loves you, who knows you, and is determined to heed and follow your Word. And I pray that you would keep him in a place of safety, keep him in a place where he is above reproach, that the enemy can only attack him because of his fidelity to you. Father, I pray there'd be more like him. And Father, we pray for the salvation of others in positions of leadership. Father, you'd humble hearts and save souls. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.